Hello, welcome to the Farm Commons podcast, where we make farm law accessible and actionable for sustainable farmers and ranchers, as well as their networks of support. In each episode, we explore real legal issues faced on farms every day, providing key knowledge and tangible solutions to help you grow a thriving agricultural business. From managing liability to navigating tough conversations with landowners and neighbors, we've got your back. Let's get started. Hello there, it's Eva here. I'm a team member at Farm Commons, and I hope you're doing very well. I'm happy to share that this is another special farmer episode where Sagan Gray, one of our 2023 Collaborative Learning Fellows, orates their story of collaborative land purchasing, filled with honest insights and potent lessons of their process. Sagan is a farmer and co-owner of Bramble Nook Farm in Rhode Island. Their story paints an honest picture of the underlying power dynamics of collective land ownership, as well as navigating legal barriers as a trans person trying to move forward with the general distrust of these systems. Sagan's wisdom is a catalyst of inspiration for how the paperwork process of creating an LLC, including the Articles of Incorporation and Operating Agreement, provide structure when delving into the shared values of a business. They will inspire you to begin asking the questions of importance to you and your business partnerships, and to begin resourcing for local support to get the assistance that you need. Overall, Sagan shares how and why legal safety is for you. Yes, you out there, listening to this podcast right here, right now. Now let's hear from Sagan.
Hello. I'm Sagan Gray, and I'm co-owner of Bramble Nook Farm in Rhode Island. Two of us now operate our vegetable farm business on land that we share with friends and family. A small group of us collectively purchased the parcel a year and a half ago, and we are now completing our first growing season. After years of leasing land, we finally have the space and autonomy to pursue our long-term agricultural goals, and we get to do that with the support of loved ones and community. We're living the collective dream, right? Well, kind of. Unfortunately, our legal and bureaucratic systems too often keep that dream intangible, and our group had to get creative to finagle a workaround. A big part of why this collective land dream remains a dream for so many of us is that U.S. systems for purchasing and insuring property are not conducive to collective participation. At best, they favor a hierarchical nuclear family structure, and at worst, it seems to be a prerequisite. We are a group of LGBTQ chosen friends and family with no marriage contracts or monogamous family structure that presupposes our decision making. We make decisions by consensus and share resources equitably amongst us. To navigate the gauntlet of land acquisition as a group required a strategic finesse and a lot of relational trust. When all was said and done, only some of us retained legal ownership to the land through our mortgage. So for those of you who have not purchased land or a home before, here's what this will most likely look like. Our collective members who had the most access to consistently recorded job history, high salaries, and good credit scores were selected amongst us to apply for the mortgage, with a maximum of two people applying jointly. It may not shock you to find out that those selected were not the farmers amongst us, and thus our farm business functions as if we are landowners, but we are solely doing so on the basis of our collective trust. We as a business and individuals have no legal protections whatsoever. When push comes to shove, Bramble Nook Farm has no legal access or ownership to the land. It's pretty scary for us to be laying the groundwork for a long-term farming operation on land that does not feel legally secure. We asked the collective group for a written lease for the farm prior to beginning our first season this year in the hopes of offering more stability to everyone, but we were unable to complete negotiations before the season really picked up. Drafting detailed collective documents takes a lot of time and capacity, and as you know, the weather doesn't wait. We began our first season here with some major concerns unaddressed. For example, the only water source on the land currently is a well that provides water for the house as well as the farm. So what happens if we run the well dry? How do we ration and monitor the water? And who is responsible for resolving the issue or for maintenance to the well? Another example, a neighbor here who we've met wants to hunt deer on the land, a strategy that the farm business believes to be necessary for crop protection. So how does our neighbor hunting impact those who want to enjoy the property? What do we need to ensure the safety of children living on the land and out playing, or a member dog walking on the trails? Big questions like these regarding essential services to our home and our business, questions regarding the safety of our collective members, these were left hanging in the balance. As business owners and members of the collective, we could only depend on personal relationships to protect our investments and livelihood. Trust can go a long way, but this dynamic also creates strain and stress for us. The imbalance of legal power generally places everyone on edge. Some of us are legally responsible for the entire property, while others have no legal rights at all. It also can exacerbate the underlying power dynamics within the group and increase our collective stress. We jumped through the requisite hoops to reach our goals, but are now facing the reality that we cannot protect ourselves collectively. And there are so many barriers for farmers and collective members in accessing these protections, both personal and structural. Most small farmers are not business people. We didn't go to business school. We didn't study finances. We love working with the land. We know how to be scrappy and do more with less. And we reluctantly take on the paper pushing of being business owners because we can't afford to pay anyone else to do it. The more that I've connected with other farmers, the more I've realized that most of us are just taking on the finances and liabilities by the seat of our pants so we can do what we love. The urgency of the plants that need tending, the fences that need mending, the high tunnel that needs building, or that old goat who keeps escaping, these seem to inevitably take precedence over putting the spoken lease into writing or reading the fine print of the insurance plan before it rolls over annually. To further complicate things, even if we had the time to dot our I's and cross our T's, most of us don't know how to. Legal protections are intimidating, cost prohibitive, time sucks, and forever beg the question, but do I really need that? Before working with Farm Commons, my mentality very much reflected this above perspective. How much work was I going to put in on the off chance that someone might sue me? How much money was I willing to spend on insurance that would do its darndest to not cover my claims? It's often felt safer to me to sweep an issue under the rug and cross my fingers. This approach is reactive to any concerns that do arise, catching me inevitably on my heels. This hesitancy to engage fully with legal systems and their protections is reflected in all of what I've just named about my experience as a farmer and a member of a collective. It is also informed by my experience living as a trans person. I have time and time again bumped up against legal barriers that either lack the nuance to address my very existence or intentionally deny it. I intuitively tiptoe through legal scenarios and don't rock the boat. My ongoing need to advocate for myself and educate others fuels a general distrust of these legal systems. And As a white person who has some access to male privilege, depending on the situation, I face fewer barriers than many people within the LGBTQ community or other marginalized communities. I can only imagine how others must feel navigating these systems while facing additional barriers in regard to race, nationality, ethnicity, language, ability, or religion, to name a few. My own lived experiences create challenging blocks to pursuing legal protections for myself, for the business, and for the collective. I have both internalized that the law is not made to protect me, and I know that the current legal structures as they exist will misrepresent me, misrepresent us. To adapt these systems to reflect my needs or to actually provide me with adequate protections will inevitably require more research and innovation. I have found that the plug-and-play template that might work for the majority of situations cannot hold the complexities of my needs. I will always create something new. Creating something new means more time, outside support, and more money. It also means those in the minority, those facing more barriers, must be the ones who are better informed, more resilient, more creative, and have access to more resources to accomplish their legal goals. And furthermore, some of us have various ethical dilemmas when considering how to engage with legal systems. For example, we are a queer and trans multiracial collective of people making a home for ourselves on land that we relate to as stewards and caregivers. We have quote-unquote purchased property in order to create a haven for our community. It's a decision we have found necessary to create access and safety. However, we also must negotiate the tension of what it means for us to inhabit stolen land. How do we ethically dismiss our right to ownership and maintain a space that we can collectively call home? These ethical quandaries also create hesitancy and confusion when engaging with legal systems. So, back to the question at hand. Why put myself or any of us through such rigmarole when we are not even sure it would ever help us? I've come to believe that that question needed some revision. Instead, how can we access the knowledge or resources that we need to feel more protected and secure, both individually and collectively? How can risk management and legal protection instead be tools? And I emphasize tools in our toolbox, not our only method. Tools that we use to help mitigate our anxieties, negotiate our differences, and create collective agreements. Furthermore, how are we each holding one another accountable to the shared burden of our collective risk? Farm Commons has really helped me reframe my relationship to these legal systems for myself and for our collective. What I previously viewed as luxury or best practice for those who could access it, I now understand to be essential tools in collectively assuring the longevity and shared vision of our farm business and our collective space. Words like legal safety or risk management no longer lead to an internal eye roll. I truly believe we have a collective responsibility to understand the risks we are taking, especially if we want to welcome others into our project and to create something sustainable. We deserve to feel as protected as possible in doing so. We did what we needed in order to access land, but not making the time to finalize our own legal agreements has ultimately created more stress amongst us. Each step we take toward protecting the farm business and the overarching collective helps mitigate our collective anxieties and power imbalances. The purchasing process was a whirlwind, and we didn't want to miss our opportunity, But now we are playing catch up on creating documents or agreements that will help us all feel safe and secure on the land. If any of the barriers I detailed above resonate with you, I encourage you to also reconsider. Legal safety and risk management is for you too. It is especially important for those of us who don't think we have access to it or think we don't need it to become informed and learn to assess our own risk. A lease between friends or family should not be overlooked. It is an opportunity to engage in meaningful and transparent conversation about an exchange that affects all of you. If you don't talk openly about the scary things that could happen beforehand, you will have fewer tools to navigate the hardships that will befall you along the way. If I don't know my co-owner's fears, soft spots, and hard no's, how can I support them when things get tough? And how will they support me? The benefit of planning for a worst-case scenario before it happens cannot be emphasized enough. I have been living and working with my business partner for a decade now, and this past year was the first time that we fully moved through some of these conversations together directly and wrote anything down. I am so grateful that writing a lease together gave us space to articulate our concerns and work through issues that will most likely surface down the road. I feel more secure in my commitment to my business partner and in my business's relationship to the collective. Similarly, drafting articles of incorporation has offered some structure when delving into the shared values of our business. We really got to ask, okay, what do we both really care about and want to center as our shared commitments? We also took on the hard questions like, what happens to the business if one of us dies? Risk management should be more than a legal contract that you don't understand. It should be a process of meaningful conversation to empower ourselves to be informed and aligned in the steps we are taking together. Regardless of how comfortable we may be with one another, even just going through the process of drafting these documents can offer clarity, nuance, and depth in our collective journeys. Maybe you are already having these conversations. Take the time to write it down. Give yourself something you can come back to when things get hard or messy. If the legal jargon is intimidating, someone who actually went to school for this can help figure out how to structure your shared concerns and desires within the rigidity of our legal system. If time and money are your biggest barriers here, seek out support. Pro bono lawyers, legal support, and education nonprofits, agricultural hubs, and so many more have resources for you. We're only a couple of years into our search for support and resources, and I have been amazed by what is available to us. We accessed free legal education tools and templates to help us draft many of our documents, and we secured grant funding to hire a lawyer and consultants who are working with us to finalize a best legal approach collectively moving forward. I also never thought I'd say this, but I have found that there are, in fact, insurance agents out there who will help you figure out how to keep things affordable while also making sure you are protecting yourself and others. The options can feel limiting for those of us seeking agricultural and collective support especially. It is a niche market, to say the least, but ask around, seek out agricultural databases with listed recommendations. Finding the resources takes some digging, but has proven well worth the effort for us, and I continue to discover more options as we delve deeper into our own process. Legal risk management used to be a term for people with money, power, and privilege in my eyes. I'm now seeing that collectively assessing our risk and seeking legal protections can actually be about building strong foundations and creating a collective ethos worthy of protection. As I continue to self-educate, I can incorporate these skill sets into my own business decision-making and use it as a resource in supporting our collective. For example, we're all sitting down at dinner brainstorming side hustles to bring in funds for the mortgage. A drive-in movie night, a hilltop zipline, or a pick-your-own apple orchard maybe are all suggested. These ideas all sound fun, but I am now far more prepared to consider the risks and legal needs of these options. And I may not know the answers, I most likely don't, but I know to ask the questions. I am in relation to a lawyer and an insurance agent who can support me in assessing the implications of any changes we make before any potential financial issue or legal danger. I am no longer in a reactive place, but I'm shifting to a proactive place in my approach. By reframing my connection to these legal systems, by utilizing the resources available to me, and by gradually self-educating, I'm feeling more confident in the sustainability of our project to withstand the inevitable trials that lie before us. With risk management skills in the tool belt, we can keep trailblazing toward that collective land dream.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Farm Commons podcast. For more information on what you just heard, as well as a variety of farm law guides, checklists, flowcharts, and more, visit our website at farmcommons.org. You can also email us at info@farmcommons.org if you have any questions or comments about this podcast or any of our online materials. Thanks everyone for listening, and keep on growing.